Morning is from Isaiah, chapter 35, verses 1 through 6. Whoops, wait a minute. I don't have this marked right. Chapter 35? Ken? Is it chapter 35? Because I had
11. Yes, it's Isaiah 35, 1 through 6.
Okay. All right. I'm sorry. I got the wrong thing ready, but I'll be there.
Because I put the wrong ones
yeah,
in the bulletin
did.
Last week. So
I wasn't going to say. Okay.
Sorry.
Okay. This is the return of the redeemed to Zion. And it's on page 663 in your pew Bibles. The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom like the crocus. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the majesty of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord and the majesty of our God. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are of a fearful heart, be strong, do not fear. Here is your God. He will come with vengeance, with terrible recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the speechless sing for joy. For waters shall break forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. And a New Testament reading. The gospel lesson is from Luke chapter 1, verse 47 through 55. Okay, I got that wrong too. Luke chapter 1. And it is on page 57 in your pew Bible. 47. Mary's song of praise. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the purpose he made of our ancestors, the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham, and to his descendants forever." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Linda, you did wonderful, especially since I sent I changed as I was looking at the various scriptures, and it was like, this is traditionally the Sunday that we recognize Mary. And I'm sure, and traditionally this is, and there are some Advent wreaths that would have a pink candle, and the third candle would be for Mary, and it would be pink, but all of ours are purple, and that's just the way we do it, but there are other Advent traditions. Has everybody noticed that we have this person among us who hasn't been among us for a while? And, you know, we're so thankful that she was able to get here today. Now, she wanted to be here Friday night, but that weather was just not where she could, where we would be happy with her coming out in that weather. And she probably wouldn't have been happy coming out in this weather, but I know she would have enjoyed the children, but we're so thankful that Ivy Huff is here today. So praise be to God that she's out and here today with us worshiping. So, you know, the whole story of Mary and Elizabeth is what a wonder, what a joy. how improbable and almost impossible that Elizabeth is going to have a child. And here she's pregnant with John the Baptist, who's going to be a cousin of, a distant cousin of Jesus. But as we go through this, 46, and it's called the Magnificat. There's actually many pieces of music where it is Mary singing this joy, because one of the things in here is there are some active verbs. My soul magnifies the Lord. Verse 46. 47, my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. She magnifies the Lord. Her spirit rejoices in God her Savior, for He has looked with favor on the lowliness of His servant. Now, when the angel came and visited Mary and told her she was going to have a child, and, you know, some people might think that Mary's a meek person, but here's this angel who shows up and tells her she's going to have a child. And I, you know, in today's culture, I could just see her raising her hand and saying, excuse me. But she doesn't do that. What she does is she speaks directly to the angel. How is this to be? For I have not known a man. And the angel tells her that the Holy Spirit will come upon her, and she will have a son. She will have a baby, and he will be this wonderful counselor. And she responds very positively, "Behold, the handmaiden of the Lord." In other words, she surrenders herself completely to the will of God. Now, that's what you call discipleship, when you surrender yourself totally to the Holy Spirit and God's purposes. He looked favor on the lowliness of His servant. Surely, from now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is His name. Again, she often refers to Holy One. Great is His name. Elevating God and placing herself under His mercy and grace. And verse 50. So that's the first one. She magnifies the Lord. Her spirit rejoices because the Mighty One has done great things for her. The second message in here is she speaks to His mercy in verse 50. His mercy is for those who fear Him from generation to generation. First, she's talked about her relationship. Now she's saying how this relationship for the rest of the world is going to be changed because of the birth of Jesus. His mercy is for those who fear Him from generation to generation. Now, that's not, you know, Friday the 13th fear. This is awe and wonder. When you stand in the majesty of the One who spoke into the void and created everything, the awe, the wonder. You might be shaken a little bit. Somebody might think that's fear, but it's not the fear in the sense that we think of as horror. It's awe is a better description of that. He has shown strength with His arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. You see, the wise men show up at King Herod, and King Herod doesn't know anything about this babe who's going to be born. He didn't know anything about the star. You know, and he's, you know, wait a minute. There's no baby being born in my household. What do you mean, a king? He scattered the proud in thoughts of their hearts, because Herod has feared for his tenuous hold on this kingdom. But the Romans propped him up. The Romans are the only reason he's king. And he eliminates anybody who's a threat. Talk about somebody who's always looking over his shoulder. Somebody who's got fear. And when the wise men show up, I guarantee you that guy's thoughts are scattered. 52 and 53. Now, these look positively to this. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. Herod, not going to be the king. Not in a way that the wise men understand, and lifted up the lowly. Here is this lowly young woman who is going to bring forward and be blessed. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. The relationship with Mary, the relationship with the entire world, and the way that we think of the powerful and the mighty being reversed. It is the lowly who He raises up. And the third piece to it is He has helped His servant Israel in remembrance of His mercy according to the promise He made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever. The Bible study that we just went through was wonder of a name, wonder of a star, wonder of a manger, wonder of a name, wonder of a manger. And the fourth one was wonder of a promise. See, throughout the story in the gospel is a promise. God's promise made to Noah, to Abraham, to David, and to the rest of us through Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. It's a fulfillment of a prophecy. Isaiah prophesied many things. And Jesus fulfills all of those prophecies. It's a promise from God, and He will fulfill it. So what is the message today for us from this? Peace. We have Mary's song, which celebrates God's redemptive coming. He's bringing peace. Not as the world gives peace, as John 14. God is the mighty one who accomplishes great things. God is the mighty one who accomplishes great things. God is the merciful God of the covenant in remembrance of His mercy. He fulfills His promises. You know what mercy is? And grace? It's unmerited. It's unearned. We can't earn it. We accept it. We accept Christ as Lord and King, Master and control of our lives. And through that we receive that peace. Just as, think about how this all presents Mary, who would be in the most challenging of situations, but she's at peace with it. She's at peace with herself. Just as when she said to the angel, "Behold the handmaiden of the Lord." She is at peace. She has peace that's based on a faith. So the sermon title, as you see in your bulletin, is "The Peace of Faith in God." Through His promises and His blessing, as we see how Mary has presented, how it has affected her. It has turned her life upside down. Yet, there's this lovely promise and beautiful peace at this moment for her. May you have, as we celebrate this Christmas, finishing up Advent, a sense of peace that comes with knowing that, you know, there might be bad storms, there might be challenging things that are happening in our lives. Right now, Alan and the whole Miller family and Dawn's family, his children, and Jennifer and her children, we wonder how there could be peace in that. But Mary's circumstances and situations were very difficult, and yet she found peace in Christ Jesus, in her faith, in His mercy. So too, may you have the peace, not as the world gives, but as Christ Jesus gives. Shalom.